This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Evolve Golf. They're a company who is absolutely committed to making products that are better for the player, the course, and the planet. You've probably seen some of their divot tools, ball markers, motion wool socks, leather works, and my personal favorite, the Epoch Golf Tee. You should go over to www.evolvegolf.com and see all the fantastic products they have that you might love to incorporate into your game.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Adam Rank. A lot of you THPers know him because he's been to a couple of THP experiences already. And he's also kind of a big deal in the fantasy football world. Adam, it's great to have you on the show, buddy.
I think anybody who competed with me last year in the THP fantasy league is like, this guy does this for a living. Like, he's not a good golfer and he's not good at fantasy. So I don't know. I actually have to bring my reputation up in both senses, but looking forward to getting it tackled and good to be here with you, Dan.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great for us because we've been able to experience it. You've been to a couple different properties, but as a member of the community, we also get to follow along and watch the chaos unfold from our living rooms or, you know, wherever else we get on the THP forums. So far, you've been to two specific properties, and let's just kick it off right there since we often talk about dormy properties on here. You've been to Ballyhack and Briggs. I'm really curious. Let's start the big question first. Which one did you like better?
Is the overall experience and everything like that. It's tough. I mean, it's very difficult, but you got to pick one, right? Yeah, it's like doing a fantasy draft. So if I'm picking one, I would pick Ballyhack. Ballyhack is a golf course, I believe I think it's automatic that it's better. It's a better golf course. It just is. I just preferred it better. Not the Briggs Ranch, no disrespect to Briggs Ranch or anything like that. If there was a way to like combine like certain elements, because I love the practice facility from Briggs Ranch, because everybody knows, because I was not letting anybody sleep. I was like, what are we doing? Like, we have a lighted range, or not a chipping and putting area and all that stuff. I'm like, why are we going to bed? If you want to go out and you want to, like, what are we going to do? You're going to go home and talk about like, oh, there was one night we were at Briggs Ranch and I went to bed at 9. It was amazing. Like, what? Like, no. Even as somebody who is a father of two young children, I still do not value sleep that much to be like, no, we're going out. And Danny and I were out there super late, and we ordered some drinks from the bar and just hang out and just had a great time. We weren't raging, you know, but we're out there just practicing. And if anybody sees me play, and you'll see this as we start going through breaking 80, like, God, he's good at wedges and good at putting, because I spend so much time doing a lot of that stuff. So taking a bet. So I love that part of it. I love the taco truck at Briggs Ranch. I love that you could land in San Antonio and be at the golf course in like 20 minutes. It always trips me out as somebody who lives in Southern California. I live near Tiger Woods Airport in Santa Ana, California, near the Long Beach Airport. If I had to go to LAX, I could. I could go down to San Diego. I could go to the Inland Empire. The fact that you fly into someplace and you're landing in another state will never cease to amaze me. Like, what? Like, yeah, we're going to go to Ballyhack, Virginia. You're like, great. Where am I landing? You're like, North Carolina. You're like, what? How does that make sense? I don't get it. And I'm not used to states being crammed together. But this was a long answer to a short question. But I think I would, if you're like, listen, you're going to go, you get to pick which one we're going to. All things considered, I'd go to Ballyhack.
Really? And that's all course specific, right? Because like, you nailed the things that I absolutely love about Briggs. The short game area there is sort of unrivaled. It's got an absolutely cruel bunker, but it also has the other side of it where you can hit from 70, 80 yards if you really want to. And being that it's all lit up, and being that I'm a psychopathic or a psychotic golfer, just as anyone else would be, we were out there for hours last week with Cleveland Stricks on, enjoying the new wedges that we just got. So, you know, I totally relate to that. But when it comes to course, it's hard to compete playing out of the hills of Virginia.
Yeah. And the cool thing, too, is that you can play it as the par 3 course. What was it, a par 60, if you wanted to do that as well. So that part of it, you don't get the the short game area like that, which is something that I really love. Like it really is. As I sit here, like, and again, like if I only get a day down there or whatever, like the flying in part of it being like, yeah. But yeah, they're both great, both great properties. But as a course, I prefer Ballyhack.
It's funny you attack the airport things. I live in the land of Joe Burrow, so we go to Kentucky to fly out of Cincinnati.
That one's but that's that one is more of the mind of like flying into Newark to go to New York City, because right. It's like yeah, you're on the border. This wasn't even like it's not even on the border. You know what I'm saying? Like you're landing in North Carolina, and you drive a good bit of ways in North Carolina. You drive by Chapel Hill and all this other stuff, and it's like. Wait, we're still in North Carolina. Like, how does Virginia not have any airports? But I know they do. I'm just kidding. But actually, I know there's a local one. I'm already pressing the golf tech guys. Like, yeah, we're flying into Denver and taking the puddle jumper. Yeah. Like, the 4-hour drive to Gray Bowl. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. I want to know a little bit more about the perspective you have, mostly the time that you got into golf, because the storyline is break 80. That's the big yes. conversation this year. But from your perspective, where did it all start? What gave you the golf bug, and how long has it been?
Oh man, I've been playing forever. You know, I grew up close to a golf course, and my dad loved playing, so there was never a lack of. Playing or doing anything like that. And then you grow up, you know, when I'm my daughter's age, my daughter's 9, in that range, it's like, it's really easy to go out there. You can play all the time. You know, what commitments do you have outside of playing in like youth basketball or whatever it is? So there's a lot of opportunity. So I played a lot, and then you get into high school, and I played baseball in high school and golf runs concurrently. I really wish I mean, looking back on it now, it would have been better for me. And I watched the kids at my local golf range who are playing, and you're like, God, it would be so nice to, this was what I did in high school. So baseball was fun. I mean, like in the moment, baseball was fun. So I'm not going to do that. And then like when you're in college, played a little bit, but you don't have a ton of money. And then as a young professional, played a little bit, but then you get married, and then all these things sort of like weaves in. So it's embarrassing to be like, I've been playing golf forever. And people are like, why are you not better? It's like, well, it hasn't been consistently. And my son is now 6. And I play, like I started getting back into it during the pandemic, which is, I think for a lot of people did as well, because I had fallen away from it. You got 2 young kids. You don't have a lot of time to do this. But, you know, as workforce changed, you know, and you're like, hey, you can work from home a little bit more. Or just realizing like, you know what, like, I don't need to throw away time like on the freeway or doing things that are not trivial. So I worked around it, you know, because my son was going to school too. So it'd be like, hey, both kids are in school. I don't need to spend 5 hours playing around. I can go find a par 30 course. I can go to the driving range. So I started getting back into it that way. And then, so for the last couple of years, ever since the pandemic, I've been somewhat serious. Of course, the NFL season takes a little bit of precedence, but I've been playing. And then at some point, as you're doing it, you're like, you know what? I might as well do this well. Like I mean, how many tips do you want to take from the dudes in the driving range before you're like, you know what? Can I get a professional to look at this and have just one voice, only one voice talking to you? Because I started posting my swing online. And the cool thing about the forums, the THP forums, is everybody's like just supportive. Like, this is great, looking good, blah, blah, blah. Everybody on Twitter's got to give you a tip. And it's like, listen, I don't need 50 tips from 50 anonymous people on Twitter. Like, I'm working with Golf Tech now. So I don't, no disrespect, but I'm locked in on the voice. There's going to be one, actually 2, because I'm moving over to Huntington Beach here. There will be 2 voices in my ear, and that's all I want right now.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about THP is there is a level of effort that goes into being supportive and also maybe being a little bit vocally encouraging about trying things, but we live in an interesting location over there because a lot of people follow all the online conversations or lessons. So maybe they see you're doing one thing and say, hey, watch this video, and then go get a lesson and be told what to do the correct way. always found that funny about social, man. Everyone's got an answer on social. And there's no crime in being wrong on social right now. So, you know, the ability to just heckle. And it's funny you say that because, you know, one of my favorite things on there is seeing Max Homa just lay into people.
That's what people are asking for, that, you know, they're like, hey, roast my swing. And I might be brave enough to do that. Actually, I don't care if it's Max Homa. I'm going to allow that.
Really? So there is a line that you draw.
Max Homa, yes. Skeeter Boy 65294. Maybe I don't need your opinion.
No, someone's about to change your Twitter handle. I know that much.
let's
dig into the break 80 then. What caused you mentioned, you said may as well do this a little bit better, but I mean, there's a turning point that everyone has, and I'm actually going through that myself this year with Golf Tech. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see the different process for not just you and me, but other THPers who are involved in events related to Golf Tech or going to see Golf Tech. But you know, there is that final moment. You're like, all right, screw it. I really need to invest some time in myself and get better. When was that for you?
I think the first time I actually saw my swing on a video. I think that was very illuminating. And it was last summer, actually, and playing around with a friend of mine, because I think a lot of us, we all feel like our swing looks like Freddie Couples. Like, that's the way our mind's eye works. Like, I probably look like Freddie Couples at it. Although I know that I don't, because I know, and anybody who's seen my swing by now knows that I don't take a big backswing. And it's like, even Jon Rahm and Tony Finau would be like, dude, take a bigger backswing. Like, you can bring it back a little bit more. Josh Noble and I actually have very like similar, like we don't get a lot of moving parts, you know? So when I saw it, I know that I don't take a big backswing, but I didn't know until I saw it on video. And this was the tough part about posting this, knowing this going in, is that I did not look athletic. Just like, oh my God, am I 90? Like, what am I, this is not correct. But you don't want to change anything up. And then so I had kind of like, you know, and I had played, and then I went to Ballyhack. And Ballyhack was interesting because when we played there, I actually got on a heater on the second nine of our final day. And I was playing with Dean, and we were coming up and like, and you know, Josh is disappointed in me. And I'm like, no. I got a bogey on the number nine going into the clubhouse. So I'm like, we got a pop. So we actually were level. So we were even par. And I go, oh, you know what? So I took the safety swing, the safety drive on 10, got us into the fair. And everybody who knows Ballyhack, like, okay, I got a safe. So Dean could go for it. And then I don't know what I did when I adjusted, but like I hit every fairway the rest of the way in. And I think it was on, so 10, 11, I think 12 or 13 is the par three. I think it's 12.
Yeah.
Come off the hill, 12.
Wait, no, 13.
13. Yeah. So we're, 13. We're coming off 13. And I was, and it's a far par three. Everybody knows this one who's played Ballyhack. I was the only, I had to use a rescue. I'm using my Cleveland high bore five. It's a four. And I was the only one who got on the green, and I got a legit bird or a pop bird or whatever it was. And we just started off great. So you're like, okay. So I'm like, I'm feeling pretty good, but I'm like, you can't let this stuff fool you. Like, this is not sustainable. I got to go out there. So I played in, I didn't want to take lessons during the NFL season. But I'm like, no, I really want to concentrate on this. So I was able to connect with Chris Koski, and I'm like, let's do this. Like, let me get through February. So it was kind of tough because I love practicing. I love hitting golf balls. So it was very tough for me, which again is why I'm so good around the green, because that's all I would practice. Because I'd be like, well, I know that I'm doing things wrong. It doesn't matter. I'm not even going to practice my drive, like whatever, because I'm going to get this fixed at some point. So I would play, and I would play like par 31s, par 30s. So give myself a chance just to have some fun. But it was, but I was like, I'm committed to do this. And so then I did post my swing so everybody could go and roast it. And I'm pleased to say, like immediately, just by dropping my hands, addressing the ball better, like I look athletic at least. Like, okay, like there is an athlete lurking in this body. That part of it has been great. I don't know when this comes out, There might be some more videos posted, but you'll see, even if my swing sucks, it looks more athletic, and that has been fun. But it really is seeing it though. But I was, like I said, like watching it on video. My friend recorded me when I was playing Shadow Ridge. We also were videotaping ourselves doing a closest to the pin on for draft order at Ballyheck, which, by the way, because it's raining and our clubs are everywhere, Josh is like, hey, it's 80 yards. You're like, okay. So I grab my 60 and I'm like, oh, this is going to be tough. Like, I should have brought two clubs. And then they're like, nope, it's 110. You're like, son of a gun. Like, that's almost a 9-iron for me. Like, it's such a vast change. But seeing that stuff, and again, like, this is, and I listen, I'm just going to tell everybody my experience is, like, if you are going to spend all this money on clubs and you're going to spend all this money on rounds and golf balls and gear, spend all this time, like, why are you not seeking the counsel of a professional? And I know that Golf Tech might not be feasible or affordable or whatever for anybody, and I understand that. But I would greatly implore anybody, even if it's just one time, like, even like if all I got out of Golf Tech was move your hands, have the ball more in the middle of your stance, I feel like that would have been worth it at that. I mean, I can't wait to get started. We're going to do like 25 lessons and I can't wait. But like, I would implore somebody, go out and do that. I lost Dan already.
That, we're good. You can still hear me. I'll get the camera fixed. There we go, right there.
Dan was like, is that your thing? Like, stop talking. Was I getting the light? Like,
No, it was great. It was great. Technical errors, kind of like our golf swings. You know, it's interesting. You said you think you're making a move like Adam Scott. It looks more like Adam Scott trying to play left-handed, and it's just a surprise. It's that sort of shock value, and you're not really convinced until you see it for yourself. You're like, okay,
yeah,
maybe everyone's a little bit right. So when it comes to Golf Tech itself, you haven't quite gotten started yet?
No, we have. I mean, I went through the initial lesson. Okay. We got everything, got the pinpoint. We did, like, I landed, I flew up to Denver, and it was great. And shout out to the Denver airport. That place trips me out. It's such a wild place. The Denver airport, whew, what a wild place. But went up there, got the Golf Tech around 8:40. I got a thing like, we're going to start filming at 9. And I was like, oh my God, I got my time zones wrong, obviously. And then I was like, I rush in there, it's 8:40. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so late. They're like, no, I'm used to being like, if we're starting at 9, be there at 8. You know what I'm saying? But they're super gracious, but we hit the ground running. So from 9 to 5 and even beyond, it was nonstop golf swinging, content creation. We did have lunch. And I like to call it the greatest day ever, outside of the birth of my kids. Well, one of them. No, both of them. I really enjoy it. Like, just hitting golf balls. Like, we would sit there and they're like, you know, the first thing you do, you go in like, hey, let's take a look at your swing. And you go out there and you make your swings and you do whatever. And you're doing that. And I'm always like, one more, one more, one more. Let me go one more. Let me go one more. I'm that guy. So we did it. And then we did the video observation analysis where it shows your thing and it's got the dot, 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 dot. Like, here's what you're doing good. Like, it's a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad. But there was some stuff that was good, which was cool because Josh, who I was working with, Josh at Golf Tech, he was like, there was one part where he's like, oh my, he's like, I don't know how, he's like, your hands at this spot are in the perfect, like, you get yourself there. It's great. Like, that, beautiful. But the one thing that they wanted, but we're going to work with everything so it's not a struggle for you to get to that spot every time, where it's going to be easier for you to get to the spot where you're already at. So there's stuff to work with. So that to me, it's the process of realizing, like, look, we're not going to fix it in one day. We're not going to fix it in one month, maybe a year, who knows? But you know, they give you a visual representation of like, here's where you're doing well, here's where we can fix it, but we're not going to fix it all in one day, which is great, which is fair, because this is, and as somebody who coaches youth sports, I always implore the boys and girls that I coach, like, listen, you don't need to go out there and be Bukayo Saka in one afternoon, but let's work on one thing to get better on. So it really spoke to me as somebody who helps teach sports, but like, yeah, like let's just work on this. And that's the thing that we worked on is like, your hands need to be closer to your body. You need to have I had the ball too far on the front of my, like almost like a driver address for a pitching wedge. Like that's not going to work. Getting that part of it, making sure. And then like, instead of being this hunchback, I'm more of a upright where you're like, oh, that's sort of the way Rory McIlroy looks like when he's addressing a golf ball. So I have mirrors over here. So even without even swinging a club, a lot of times is I'll just stop because I got a club right there and I'll just look and be like, okay, like make sure, you know, the club's pointed at your belly button. Like, yep. Okay. No, I got it. Like, good. Make sure my arms are square. Like my shoulder wasn't square. That was another big one too. Like my shoulder's always out like this. I always think it's closed, but it's open. So you want to make sure, and I will tell people if somebody is with me at the range, or actually there was this kid, Jeffrey, who plays at Marina High School. He was walking by. I go, hey, Jeffrey, comments like, can you stop for a second? Like, can you see my left arm at address? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, good. That's all I need. But just learning that small little bit. So that was the first part of the day. That was like the first part of the day. So it was so cool. So we did all that stuff and like, this is what we're going to work on. We did a podcast. We had lunch. We filmed a couple of commercials. So there's a couple of Golf Tech commercials I'm going to be in front of some of these events over the next couple of weeks. But keep an eye out for that. And then we go up and then we're going to start getting fitted for irons. We're going to start getting fitted for irons and the driver. And so I'm like, okay, cool. I got wedges. I got new Cleveland wedges. And I don't know if I got the right shafts, but I love the new Cleveland wedges so much. I'm like, I don't even care. I'm hitting them great. I know this isn't usually the kind of shaft that whatever. So we go to get fitted for irons. And in the course of doing a podcast and eating lunch, I forgot how to swing a golf club. And I hit like 15 to 25 hosel rockets, which is embarrassing. And it's frustrating. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so anybody who played with me last year at Ballyhack knows that like my way, when I'm at the driving range or anything, I will put a barrier up, even if it's my coffee cup, and I will put a barrier up. Oi! And I will put the ball like this close to this coffee cup and just start swinging. Cause I'm like, I'm definitely not going to come over the top or do anything. I'm going to get the proper swing path. So I said, I don't care if you film this, but I'm going to use all this stuff. And I had to put a tee, cause this was something that Danny showed me a while ago too. It was like, a tee, so I would take the club straight back, make sure you get, I'm like, I know this is not a perfect picture and people might want, I'm like, I don't care because I feel like it's good to show the process of like, yeah, this is frustrating. And when you learn something new, you'll forget something. And honestly, what it was, and it took me a while, I'm like, what am I doing? Because like your swing thoughts change. And I'm like, oh, because my whole move, everything starts with my left knee, whether this is right or wrong, and this might be something we have to fix down the road. But if I start with my left knee, and this is my personal thing, and I drive the ball of my left foot down, my swing will, like, the swing path is great. And I had forgotten how to do that in the course of this, but it all comes together. And now again, like, I know you probably saw in the video, if you've seen the video, I do have a ball bag that I put out there. I still do it because I think we're practicing. I got my alignment sticks. I got everything, the tee. Like, I don't do that on the course, but I'm like, when you're at the range, take advantage of it because you want to develop that muscle memory. So we did that, and I got fitted for irons and a new driver. And then we did some social media content. So it was like the best. It's like everything that I love to do in life. They even had a... if they would have had an old fashioned for me, actually, who am I kidding? They would have had an oatmeal latte for me. It would have been perfect, but it was a great day. And sorry, Dan. I know you're like, I asked him two questions and he spilled a half hour. No, How is this possible?
It's really good because
talking about it. I love it. I love the experience.
Yeah. The fear that a lot of golfers have is a lack of comfort when it comes to going and getting lessons. that you almost feel robotic. You're describing a couple things that really resonate with you. It sounds like seeing things on video like is sort of the defining moment. I operate slightly differently, where I need to get a feeling and then I validate through video. So like the idea that we're all different and still can benefit from this, I think that's really curious, because there, it sounds to me like they were sort of helping you find that proper location. And I want to circle back on what we had started this conversation with. You had tripped me up saying you're ready to get started. I had thought you already did. So that was a bit confusing, but what did you mean by getting started? Were you talking about more of the local stuff, the guys you're working with locally, or when you're moving to a new location? What's the real starting point for you?
Oh, so I mean, my first lesson, obviously, and they've sent me a video of it and everything, was working with Josh in Denver. I'm not going to fly to Denver each week to go take my golf tech lesson. I'm going to the local golf tech here in Huntington Beach. So I will be switching over to a new coach.
Okay.
That part of it. So we've started. Yes. Sorry. I should have been more serious.
No, it's fine. It's good, because I think you also will get to see the different types of, you know, each location is unintentionally different because we're all different people. But I think I would imagine, and this is what I'm looking for locally here, is someone who can accommodate the kind of golfer I am and the types of things that resonate with me. It's not like your club needs to be here. It's you need to do this to get your club there. Like, it's more about before the action instead of the action itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So and I believe my new coach is going to be Lauren over at Golf Tech in Huntington Beach. So again, we'll have the first lesson. She will have already seen it, so she'll know too. And we have a good starting off point. So I am started. So yeah, I've officially started, but I haven't. We're still waiting to start when I will do my second lesson, probably next week or whenever you're listening to this.
Let's hope that Lauren's more like a THPer and less like a Twitter follower, right?
That's fine. Honestly, like I hope that I'm. I've always felt to be somebody who's open to coaching. And I actually, you know, what's funny is I actually prefer female coaches. I've always found it to be, I don't know why. I think maybe you grow up because you have, I was really close with my mom. I had a lot of female teachers. And I do notice, like, for a lot of the soccer stuff, when I'm trying to find lessons, there's a gal in the UK called She Can Play. And I think she's fantastic. So, and I coach girls, so it also helps. And then who is it? Georgia Golf Coach is somebody online. Of all the people who are online who you watch videos of or whatever, Georgia Golf Coach was always the one that I was like going to. But again, now it's all about Josh and Lauren. That's who I'm focused in on.
It's interesting you say that. I think the two of the best lessons I ever got were from female coaches. They were phenomenal. Maybe it's the way they describe things. They have a more intricate way of getting that. I don't know. It's strange. We all have a coaching ID, don't we? We're all a little bit strange.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think that there's some voices and people that you're receptive to or not receptive to. And like looking back, you know, and it's not like I didn't thrive with male teachers. My baseball coaches and basketball coaches were always men. So it's not like I didn't, but I've noticed as I've gotten, you know, older or whatever, I look at a lot of stuff trying to find tips, whether I'm coaching or whatever it is. I always tend to, I don't know why, but I don't know what it is, tend to go to the female. Oh, also like when you look at like analytics experts, you know, my friend, she's a friend of mine, but Cynthia Freeland, she like, I, for whatever reason, well, she's really good. There's a good reason she went to MIT and she's really good. I trust her more than everybody else. And I don't know if it's a female thing or it's a friend of mine thing. No, because Matt Harmon's a friend of mine and I would take Cynthia over him. If I'm drafting, don't let him know. Cynthia would be more likely to watch this because she loves playing golf. So, but still, but it is something. I think that's an important thing too, because over at my local golf club over here in Huntington Beach, there are two guys who do lessons. One of them is the video guy, who is, you know, technical, a lot of this stuff, similar to what we would do with Golf Tech. And it's like, and it's a certain level of what you're looking for. Now there's another dude, Dan Yenny, who's great. And I've seen him, I usually go down by his booth And he's great with people and he's awesome. And I will talk to him. And, but he's, I feel not like he couldn't teach me anything, but it's also like, I want to get into this video, but I want to really take advantage of what Golf Tech has to offer with the video and looking it over and watching the tape, grinding the tape. You know, part of my job with fantasy football is grinding tape. I want to grind tape on some of the stuff that I'm doing. And after you get over the initial, like, good Lord, I don't like watching my swing. It's really beneficial. And I think a lot of people, if you have the access to it, would really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm like that with stats, but my golf swing stats, I don't mind looking at baseball stats or football stats. So the second you force me to look at what I did on a golf course, I get a little bit sketchy. So
are you talking about spin rate or are you talking about like fairways and regulation?
Fairways hit, yeah, scores,
distances. Oh, I love that stuff.
I'm getting started this year on ShotScope. I'm trying to break through the mold and stop acting like it's horrible and start acting like it's actually beneficial. We've had so many THPers go through it that I feel like I'm missing out. So I'm taking that chance. I do want to ask you about the breaking 80 end goal. I mean, obviously there is a number to get to. Based on what you've experienced so far, do you think you are closer than you are far away? I was going to say you post on THP, like, I don't know if it's going to be this year or 2 years or whatever, but.
Honestly, I think I can fluke my way to one. I feel like it's going to be like something weird's going to happen and I'll be like, okay, I got to break 80 again. But the good part of it is I've shot like 84s before. I think my best ever was an 83, but what's going on, what's happening now though, is like a lot of shooting 84, and I keep stats. I never hit greens in regulation. I never, rarely hit green. And
you got some action going on in the background. Jeez here.
Louise, that was a weird little, I didn't even touch anything. But it's one of those things, like a lot of what I've been doing, the reason I've been like, I will shoot in the, cause like that was one of the comments of somebody I blocked on Twitter. Like, you'll never break 90 with that swing. And you're like, bro, I've done it plenty of times. Like, get out of here. But there is some truth to it because like I get bailed out a lot with one putts. We were playing in a tournament the other day and as usual, not on the green. This was actually, it was a miracle because I was actually off the green about 60 yards from the hole, and I did a bump and run with my 8 iron, which people read the caddy at Valley Hack. The first time I did this, he's like, I don't know if I like the 8 iron. He's like, oh yeah, okay, keep you in the 8 iron. Like, okay, I'm not gonna tell you not to do that anymore. That's your club, the best club in your bag. And I'm like, I get that. So a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. Of like, and I think like that's one of the things that's important when you're starting to keep track of stats, like you're talking about, Dan, is it's really illuminating. Like, I'm not hitting fairways, I'm not hitting greens. Why can I? And listen, I'm not consistently in the 80s, but like, why am I flirting with the 80s? And so a lot of it. So every time you went back, and I'll go back and look and see like a good round, you know, like an 88 or something. Be like, oh, like of course I had 28 putts or something ridiculous. A lot of it is because you're not hitting the green and you're chipping it close, but like that's bailing you out. I mean, like that's one of the things, like it's almost like a lag putt, you know, but like I'm putting for bogey instead of for birdie. So I really don't know. I would like it to be, I'm now not like, I feel like there will be a switch where it's like my putting stats will go atrocious because I'll get on the green but not be close to the pin, and I'll have more okay. Three putts.
Got you.
And then you'll be like, oh, why am I bad? You're not bad. You just have to get the thing right. So I think like, this is why I feel like it's going to be a process. Cause at some point I'm going to start hitting fairways and that'll be fun. At some point I'm going to start hitting greens in regulation and that's going to be amazing. And then you're going to have to work on lag putting, which is really hard. Like it's almost easier for me at this point in my life because of the courses that I play, of chipping and bumping and running and chipping and all that stuff, giving myself a chance for these long par putts that I'm not to say that I'm a miracle, but like I practice 10 and 8 footers because like these are usually the par putts I have to make. So there's so much that needs to go into this, and I don't want it to be something where like I shoot a 77 and then I'm like, okay, I'm good. And then you walk away forever. I want this to be consistent because I'm already thinking like, hey, if by miracle I broke 80 early, like in the next 2 weeks or something, I would be like breaking 80 again, you know, like, hey, then you do it again, type of thing. I don't believe that'll be a, although I did, I was on a heater a couple of weeks ago on this back nine. And again, but it was like miracle shots of like, oh, you chipped in for birdie when you shouldn't have, and stuff like that. I want to get it down to like, oh, I'm actually putting for birdie and not chipping for birdie.
Yeah. Tell me about the Cleveland and Srixon connection. You seem to really, really engage and love those products. They've got quite a bit of new stuff out this year. I assume you're pretty excited about it.
Absolutely. You know, I got an opportunity to meet Noel a couple of years ago when I was actually looking to upgrade from clubs. I was hitting Wilson Deep Reds from 2000s, you know, from actual like 1999, 2000, which were great clubs, you know, like I actually really enjoyed those. But I was looking around and going, you know, to the local Roger Dunn, which is Worldwide Golf, or somebody thought about going Callaway or whatever. But I was put in contact with Noel, and she offered me an opportunity to try out the Srixon clubs, and I really love them. And I feel like Srixon is the kind of brand where it's whenever you are, for people who are serious in golf, like really know that like Srixon is one of the best brands. That like not a lot of everybody knows some of the other brands, like they're more recognizable. I mean, I was sitting there one day playing in Long Beach. I had a big rec, friend of the locals out here, and a guy picked up the ball, and he goes, "Yeah, is this it? What does this say? Senior Ixon?" I'm like, "You work in golf?
No way!
You don't know Srixon? What is wrong with you?" I don't know. And then he gave me advice, and I'm like, "Listen, you don't even know the name of the ball that I'm playing. I don't need this." So I got an opportunity to start playing there, using their clubs. Now, obviously, Cleveland wedges have been something like that was always. Even when I was hitting Wilson's, I still had Cleveland wedges. So, and then using Srixon's and being able to use those, like when you were, Dan, when you were talking about feel, there is something about the feel of those golf clubs. And when I was able to go through and we did I wanted to do the whole thing of trying clubs and hitting some clubs. And like, when it comes down to it, if you're looking for the feel and everything, Srixon feel the best for me. And so I am getting some new Srixons. So part of this is I moved up to the sevens though. So I'm excited. I've been playing the ZX5s. Now I'm going to go up to ZX7. It was crazy too. Like this is a cool thing too. And part of the process of golf tech is being able to try out a bunch of different clubs and to see what you like and see what you hit the best. And not only, you know, getting an opportunity to try some other brands, but even going between like the Srixon ZX4 to the ZX7, because I think a lot of people, they'll look at clubs that are game improvement. Like we want a game improvement. And when you're hitting a ZX4, it's heavily weighted to the bottom, which can cause some problems. So the ZX7 is what we ended up on. It's like, it's funny because I might not be there quite yet, but where my swing is going to eventually be, the ZX7s is going to be perfect for my swing. And I think that's one of the good things about going to somebody who is both a teacher and a coach, because they know it's not necessarily a measurement of where you are right now. And you could go with a club and you can find something that's like a, not a beginner club, but like a game improvement club. You will hopefully eventually grow out of that. So when you go to somebody like that, it gives you an opportunity to kind of have in mind, like, where do we expect to be in the next 6 to 8 months to 18 months? And that's how we were able to find the clubs. And it was a very cool experience. And Srixon, I just, again, feel great about it. I know the guys that are over at Metalark, we always talk about this because there's a lot. We have and Srixon's obviously a Huntington Beach brand. But like, when you see somebody wearing a Srixon, like, it's a game recognizes game type of thing. Like there's like, if you go and you see somebody wearing a LeBron James jersey, you're like, okay, that's cool. Like whatever. But if you see somebody wearing an Austin Reeves jersey, you're like, oh, this person knows basketball. And I think like, that's kind of what Strixon's like. Like when you see somebody playing Strixon or using Strixon clubs, you're like, that person's probably pretty good. I'm the exception to that rule. But I mean, like when I walk around the clubhouse, I look dope. But I really love the clubs and I love the product and the golf balls have been great. And it's funny because, we get the opportunity to test all these balls and, the Z Stars and the Z Star Diamond and all that stuff, which I really love. And where they really make a huge difference for me is putting. Like they're great to putt with, but I'm actually a Q Star guy. Like I, my janky, like watch my swing. You'd be like, yeah, it's a Q Star swing. But they're really cool and they're really beneficial. And I know, friends of mine will play like noodles or stuff like that because of the price point. I'm like, if you're going to do that, I just beg you, please try the Strixon. And if you don't like it, then I'll buy them off you, you know? But I think you'll like them. So I've gotten a couple of friends of mine into the Q Stars and, or even the soft ones. My friend who was using the noodle actually is playing the soft now.
Are you talking about the Q Star Divide? Is that what you're talking about? The Q Star.
Well, there's all, there's divides. I do have divides. I have been blessed. They will send me divides from time to time. I do that Q Star. I have solid, or I have yellow balls, like solid yellow ball or glow in the dark yellow ball, not glow in the dark, but the bright yellow. So the divides, I like the divides. I will play the divides. It's matted and everything. But I've been playing the Q Star. Is it Q Star Tour?
Yeah.
Where it's,
and
like,
and they actually just dropped a new one called the Ulti Speed. So
I know. I haven't tried that one yet. I can't give you a fair assessment.
The funny part, Adam, is I'm a ZXi 7 guy. That's what I have in the bag.
Nice.
I am a Q Star Tour guy. That's what I prefer.
No way.
Yeah, the lower compression is and lower spin is definitely right up my alley. So you know, you're acting like you're kind of weird here, but in reality, you're suiting me just fine. So it's perfect. Okay.
Oh, cool. So like, yeah, if we run out of golf balls, you're like, hey, there's going to be no shortage of the Q Star Tours in my bag. Although I do have some divides. The one thing about the divides, I like them. I'm not going to say anything bad. People don't, because they were like, I don't know how to line them up on the tee. And I'm like, no, you got to just pick a side.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I think that's the problem is that people try to line it up. I'm like, no, don't do the divide. Do the top and bottom. And I even do that. You know what's funny is I even do that because I think a lot of people like to use the divide as their line for putting, which to me, and you were talking about feel.
Mm.
So a lot of times, like I'll sit there and read putts and you're doing everything. And then I can feel the break easier once I'm standing over it and I feel my feet. Cause you're gonna be like, this is gonna break right. And then I'll sit there and I'll address it. I'm like, the other day I stepped away and I said, there's no way this ball doesn't break left. And there's water on the right. It looks like it's going right. I'm like, it's gonna go left. My friend's like, I'm like, I can feel it. I can just feel it. And I potted it and it broke left. My friend's like, I'm like, it's the thing. Like it just, once I get over it, it just, I can feel it in my feet. And it broke that way. But again, like similar though, I won't line it up because I don't want to be married to the line that I've set up in case something changes. If I feel something in my feet, but the one thing that I really like about the divides with putting, it's the opposite of what people would think, is doing the top and bottom, because you can still see your rotation and still see the way it's break. And like, it actually, to me, it helps out more to see the top and bottom rotation than the side view that I think a lot of people would naturally assume is the case. Although I will say that I have a practice mat over here. And when I'm practicing, I do like to line it up because that way it's make sure that I'm on the line. Cause I'm usually, when I'm here, I'm more like trying to make sure I'm going straight back because my putter is the Cleveland HB soft, but it's the center shaft. And the center shaft is now starting to become the rage. And I know a lot of people don't like it, but I love the center shaft.
Yeah, it's my favorite part about the divided. Just it is exactly that. It is a golfers group divided. People either love them or they hate them. And it's almost more fun to use them when people hate them. And it's like,
if somebody makes fun of it, then I'm like, that's all I'm playing.
Yeah, lean in for sure. Also, New Zealand, I think the new wedges seem really awesome. New,
unbelievable new
fairway woods.
I love those.
Do you? Yeah. Oh, you're a wedge guy. Like that's you, wedges and putters. Like your big time on the practice green. So of course you're going to be picky when it comes to wedges, right?
Absolutely. Like I will not compromise on that. And I took forever and I worked with JB here, going over some stuff, and I obviously our swings are different and everything. And I'm like, I'm really going over like different specs of it. And it was really cool because we were able to build wedges from scratch. And I went with a lighter shaft. But I think for the wedges, it really works out for me. And I love swinging them so much. And I don't like doing it off mats, but thankfully they redid the mats at Metalark, so it's more like hitting off grass. But they've been amazing. And I've had the only problem I have with them, and again, this comes from practice and everything, is like leaving my shoulder open. If I leave it open, it's going left. It's not anything, nothing to do with the club, but I love having it in my hands. Like it feels so good, like such a pure swing. I love those wedges.
It's
can we
great.
Make the whole set like the like I just want it. Can we make these the 3-iron? Like I would love it.
Well, it's just great to be passionate about something, and it seems like Strixon and Cleveland have really, really nailed that for you, which is fantastic and gives you confidence, man. Like once you get something you really like in the bag, it's hard not to feel good about it.
Yeah, you know what? And again, and I I felt like it was worth it to me. To give a couple other things a shot and see what's up. And it's like, man, it was easy. Like it was almost like the blind taste test, the Pepsi challenge back in the day. Like even without knowing which club it is, and I'm like, you can hand me a club and be like, that was a Strixon. Like I would just know. And it feels better. I know you're a big feel guy, but like everything about it was better. And the stats back it up too, because when you're doing the golf tech, you see all your little things, all the little metrics. You're like, oh, the Strixon was the best club. I'm not surprised at all.
Well, I got to ask you some sort of non-golf stuff since I have you, and I'm incredibly curious. What's harder, coaching, you 10 and under, or playing fantasy football?
Oh, the frustration is different on other things. Like there's only so much you, like, and in both instances, there's only so much you can control. And with, you know, fantasy football, like everything you can, like everything that you, like you can look at some matchup and be like, hey, the Lions have allowed the last 8 slot receivers to gain over 150 yards a game. You're like, okay, Keenan Allen plays the slot. I'm going to take Keenan Allen. He's held to 29 yards. You're like, how is this? What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And similarly, when you're coaching these kids, you're just like, hey, can you do like, go stand next to the post. The ball will find you. And then they just are out wandering. Like, do you not under, like, go stand, go guard number 7. And they won't do it. And like, do you not understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Like, am I having a stroke? Can you hear, can you physically hear me? What words am I, repeat the words that I'm saying.
The motivational kind of speech was from Travis was not enough for them.
No, not always. They really love that. So two of the girls on the team, for anybody who's curious, who doesn't know the story. So the team that's right back there, Team Fearless, after the Taylor Swift song, our captain Hudson, she picked it out. My daughter Bev is also a huge Taylor Swift fan. So this was not a thing. Not a huge self, like didn't have to convince her. So they're done. Like Team Fearless. I have a really cool name. Like, okay, cool. I haven't seen this a lot. Like, okay, this is awesome. So, and I needed it to be different from my normal core team because this was an all-star team. And so, we were going into a tournament and people joked like the only reason he went to the Super Bowl this year was to go get this soundbite from Travis Kelce. And yeah, pretty much. No, we were working there and I go, well, I'm going to try it. And I waited. It was media night. I wasn't going to go to any of the the midweek events when people are asking serious football questions. Opening night is the goofball night, almost to the point of like when there was somebody like, hey, Travis, how do you break down the two highs? Like, shut up. This isn't for you. Come back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Monday night's for the idiots who are asking dumb questions. And speaking of which, will you shout out my team and give him a little backstory? And he did. Great. Wonderful human being. Gave a little shout out. Girls loved it. And I will even tell you, of the 10 girls, one of them is an actual Philadelphia Eagles fan. Another one, being in Southern California, this shouldn't be much of a surprise, is a Chargers fan. So neither one of them liked the Chiefs, but still appreciated the message.
Nice. Well, I needed Travis to give himself that speech in probably week two of this past year because I picked him in the second round and it did not go well. But like you said, I had an early pick a couple years ago and took Jade Taylor, and I thought it was a lock, and he had a tough year. It's, man, I'm kind of dabbling. I grew up in hockey country, so I'm not like all in on the fantasy, but I'm learning as I go. Right. And you know, it feels like there's a lot of luck and a whole bunch of good decisions throughout the year that are made.
Yeah, there's so much of it that's luck, and I think that fantasy experts always get defensive about it because they're like, oh, they don't want to admit that there is a lot of luck involved. And I'm like, there's no shame in admitting that sometimes the luck is against you. And the example that I'm always drawn to is somebody like Phil Hellmuth. Phil Hellmuth could go to the Bellagio right now and sit down at a table and play poker and lose to some person who barely plays, who doesn't know what they're doing, and it happens. That's a one-night thing. That can happen. Over the course of their lifetimes, Phil Hellmuth will beat that person more often than not. And fantasy football is a lot like that, where, you know what? You might catch somebody on a week. I might make maybe a bad season. But I feel like over the course of my lifetime, I am making informed decisions that will leave me in the positive more than the negative. And again, like sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. Sometimes Keenan Allen catches 150 yards worth of passes. Sometimes it's 29 and it's not as great.
Not personal at all either. Yeah.
No.
I did see you showing off one of your tight wins from this past year, and you had my guy Joey
B. Three of them. Three.
Yeah. I had a couple,
by a total of less than 4 points.
I had a couple that went down to like the last half point, and I can't remember what happened. One of the weeks, someone either didn't bother going to the end zone, or they scored a 2 point, or it was like a late touchdown that screwed me. But I saw you have my guy Joey B in there. He was an absolute monster last year. So was Chase. It's an interesting time being a Bengals fan with a 10-year-old who doesn't understand that they can't win every year. So.
Oh, man. Well, you tell the 10-year-old that the Bengals are going to be good for a long time. Can I say something, too,
if you don't mind, Dan?
I know this isn't about the – I got to tell you, how long have you been in the Cincinnati land area? Where are you, in Ohio or
– Yeah, Cincinnati, 25 years, yeah.
Okay. What a great city Cincinnati is. Unbelievable. One of my good friends that we grew up with, his name's Steve, he moved to he's been there roughly around the same time as you, like 25 years. Grew up, and we always made fun of him. Like, what are you doing in Cincinnati? Like, what? Like, how did this happen? Whatever. And it was a thing, and for work and whatnot. I went out there and visited him, like, I think it was 3 years ago, and I absolutely loved it. What a great town. The downtown is amazing. Somebody had said this, they called it the San Diego of the Midwest. And I was like, I'll be the judge of this. I told Renee from AEW, I'll judge this. And I'm like, Renee, I go, it's not a bad description. Really cool vibe, chill vibe, bunch of breweries. Your baseball stadium is amazing. I love the fact that for anybody who's never been to a Great American Ballpark. So you got the ballpark, and then there's like a 3 or 4 block radius around it with like restaurants, bars, whatever, housing, whatever. In that confined area, you can have an open container. They will treat you like an adult, like you're in New Orleans or Las Vegas or something like that. and it's cheap. I went up there and I ordered it. I was like, can you have, like, people are just walking around like, you like, is this a special event? They're like, no, it's just game day. You're like, oh my God. And then I bought like an IPA for $4.50. You're like, ah, this is the greatest, the greatest day. And then what a great city. I'm sure it gets cold at times. And my friend Steve was saying that, but I'm like, I don't know, dude, this is a pretty lovely place. Like, I think you found a good spot.
Yeah. About 5 months of the year, I get pretty cranky here, but for the most part, it's not as bad as we play it off to be. So it'll be all right.
No, you're not Cleveland, so you're fine. Yeah,
that's true.
You're almost the South. Like, you're 4 miles, you know, like, you're a border away. Well, this Kentucky was U.S., right? Kentucky never won confit. I'm not back to that lesson with my kids right now. But yeah, but like, listen, you're low enough. You're kind of below the snow belt. You're fine. You'll get snow, but like, you're not too bad.
All right. Last question of the day. Best way to pick draft order. Was it the closest to the pin experience?
I love that. I thought that was a really fun way. And when you have people who are like-minded in that sense, that really is a fun way to do it. And we didn't, because of time restraints, we didn't get an opportunity to go out there and play a full round. That would be my light pushback. I don't know if it'll work out for us. And I don't know if there's something near Grable where we will be this summer. But like, closest to the pin, that's the easiest way to go. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a great way to do it. I would implore anybody. I would ask most people, have a fun way to do this. I will tell you, I'll give you another long-winded story that you didn't ask for. For my league of record with the guys that I grew up with, I had Patrick and Cynthia draw cards on the set of the show. We did it. And there was one guy who's actually not part of – he didn't grow up with us. And I had a dust-up with him a couple of years ago because I didn't really know him that well. Now we're good friends. Now we're like best friends. We're fine. And they're drawing it. And I literally go, hey, as long as Brent isn't number 10, we're fine. And I swear to great Caesar's ghost himself, Patrick picks up a card and he starts laughing. He's like, it's Brent. I'm like, they're not going to believe this is real. And then so I filmed the video and I sent it to everybody. I post it on TikTok. And then Brent calls me and I'm like, oh no, like, we were on such good, could not have loved it more. But my point is like, find a unique way to do it. And even if it's hiring me on Cameo, but find a unique way to do it. That's the best one. Reach out to me on Cameo, where right now cameos are, whatever. Find a fun way to do it. Don't just pull names out of a hat. Find a fun way to do it, whether it's closest to the pin, a putting contest, watching a horse race and assigning everybody a number. A lot of different ways to go. Play a Madden tournament. Whatever it is, Mario Kart, who knows? Go out there and have some fun. It should also be part of the experience of fantasy football.
I love that. Hey, it's been super fun getting to know you a bit today.
I feel bad for you. You feel bad for me? I feel like JB made you do this, and you're like, thanks. This guy would not stop talking. It was awful.
I owed him a favor. There's not much I could do about it, especially when you led the show with choking on popcorn and we had to restart. So like, we'll forget all that happened, right?
make that a YouTube short or something like that. Yeah. Don't let that go to waste. What a lack of professionalism. Like, there was a time when I was at that golf tech, like, they were sitting there and I'm like, I got to go use the restroom. And then somebody's sort of like, no, they look. But my microphone is on the table. And they're like, oh my gosh, they're like, a true professional knew to take off his microphone before he went to the restroom. They're like, we don't want to tell you how many times that the subject of the video has walked into the restroom. I'm like, listen, I've done this before, but if you would have seen me at the opening of this show, you would have been like, has Rank ever been on camera? Because you wouldn't have known it. Choked immediately.
He says he's done this before. We're saying he's done that before the wrong way and has learned his lesson, I think.
Oh, no. You know what's funny is one time we were sitting there and this producer is we had a little bit of a break and this producer started screaming like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? Like, take off your mic before you go to the bathroom. I'm like, bro, I'm filling up my water bottle. It was right outside the studio. I go, I'm talking to one of the security guards. I'm like, there's like, it would be a little weird if I'm sitting there and I'm talking to Vivian in the security department while I'm doing what you think I'm doing, filling up a water bottle, everybody. And I'm knock on Formica, but I've not been a microphone restroom, because I'm sort of a nervous tinkler anyways. So I'm pretty good about making sure that thing's turned off.
Wow. It seems like our story is just getting started. I absolutely cannot wait to follow along on THP and on Instagram with your Breaking 80 story. I definitely need an update before the end of the year. And I will see it live in person here as we go take on Grable, which is apparently an absolute monster. So I'm pumped for that. And you better hope that Golf Tech doesn't do too many good things for me. Otherwise, I'm coming for you.
Ooh, hey, bring it on. Hey, I'm growing in confidence as well. So
yeah,
it's a part of the experience. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And I don't know what the facilities, the training facilities are like at Grable, but whatever. I expect at least one late night, you and I, under the lights, either putting or chipping or whatever it is, talking about everything from golf to choking on popcorn, whatever it is.
Yeah, heckling required for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, my friend. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. And if your buddy looks like he's swinging, like he's unfolding a lawn chair or swinging left-handed, tell him to go to Golf Tech and check it out for himself. If it's good enough for Adam Rank, I think it's good enough for you. We'll see.
Absolutely.
Either way, we'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey everybody, Don Brown from True Temper, back here with another edition of Shaft University. This week's question is about tour success and how we measure it. Is it by the number of players or about how often we win? And the answer is both. Obviously, if we have a lot of guys using it, that shows we've designed a product that fits a wide range of the best players in the world. And to be frank, it shows up on TV more often. But it's also very important to get those wins, because that shows that you've got the very best players in the world using your products. If you take a look in the winner's bag most weeks, you're gonna find either a True Temper Dynamic Gold or a Project X Steel Shaft. You're also gonna see a lot of Hazardous Green. That was our most winning shaft last year. We won 6 different tournaments using Hazardous Green. So again, just a testament to that kind of shaft that we're designing, working for the best players in the world. That one in particular, those are all guys with a lot of ball speed. So it shows that when it comes to those higher ball speed guys, we design some of the best shafts for them. So hope that answers your question. Look forward to talking to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.